Let us now turn for our scripture reading, and turn for our instruction to the Gospel of John and the chapter 11. The Gospel of John and the 11th chapter. We commence our reading at the verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, commencing our reading at the verse 1, and we read through to the verse 48. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear his word together. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his word by faith. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up early hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. All to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls, which can perish at any moment from this world. Well, dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing there in the Gospel of John and the 11th chapter, the Gospel of John and the 11th chapter. This evening we consider the resurrection here of Lazarus, as he is called from the grave. The one thing we will notice as we study the New Testament, as we study the four Gospels, of course we have the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John was right here on the scene at this time. And John is recording these things for us, and what John emphasizes particularly as we go through the Gospel of John is the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is deliberate in this way. He presents Christ. As we go through the Gospel of John, we know that the 7 great I am statements are found in the Gospel of John. We see the greatness of Christ. That's one of the great themes or the motifs of the Gospel of John. The first great I am, there in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, I am the true vine. And whenever the Lord says, I am, he is claiming to be the great I am that we read of in John chapter 8. Remember when the Jews picked up stones to throw at him because he was making himself to be the great I am who Moses saw in the burning bush, and he is. He is the angel of the Lord that was there in the bush when the Lord spoke to Moses. The great theme of the Gospel of John is the greatness of Christ above all beings. Remember how if you just turn to John chapter 1, verse 50, remember how Jesus, after meeting with Nathanael, he said that he will see greater things hereafter. This is the great theme. Jesus answered verse 50 and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" He knew and saw Nathanael before he ever saw him. He knew his comings and his goings. He knew all about Nathanael. "Thou shalt see greater things than these." And really, that's the essence of the Gospel of John, the greatness of Christ, that he is very God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory. John wants to tell us by the Spirit of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an eyewitness to this account. That's the wider background to this setting here. Well, we know in the Synoptic Gospels what we have, they tend to focus on the signs and the sayings of Christ. But John, as I said, emphasizes on the identity of Christ. We've looked briefly, I've just quoted those seven I am statements that come from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is setting forth his greatness. And here John attested to these things. He heard with his own ears those very words. The Synoptic Gospels, we have the miracles, but we also have the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here are signs and miracles that bear witness. And even these seven great I am statements are here in order to corroborate these claims, these miracles that were performed. What we see here is, "I am the resurrection and the life." These things corroborate to the very personhood of the person who the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be, the very being that does not change. God is. We are not true beings because we are constantly in a change of flux. We are like the clouds that are constantly changing shape and form. We are not the same today, but Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is God, he could say, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The one who is speaking to Lazarus, the one who is speaking to Mary and Martha, is the Son of God, the eternal Logos. And what is being set before us here in this account is the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has in not only raising the dead physically, but raising the spiritually. We who are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, we who are not alive unto God, how he has the power to call sinners to newness of life. And that is what is being set forth. Well, it was already set forth in John chapter 5. We know this if you just turn back there. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." You see, it's believing upon Christ's word, because his word has power, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now notice, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming," and now is. It's upon you. Even now, "when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they here shall live. Now he's speaking here in the spiritual realm in the first place. The spiritually dead shall hear and live. And then he moves on to that physical resurrection. And notice verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Now notice, "marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation," and so on. So there the Savior is setting forth that he has power to raise men spiritually from being spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, setting them free from Satan's prison house, the great deceiver who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He has the power to quicken them, to bring them to newness of life, and to give them faith in himself, but also he has the power to call sinners from the grave to eternal life. Now, all of this is accomplished by his word. He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, calls men to live. "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus comes forth. Now, this chapter can be divided in four, really, I suppose. We have in verses 1 to 16, the death of Lazarus. Verses 17 to the verse 37, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ there at Bethany. That is quite a long section there. And then the verses 38 to the verse 44, what you have is the miracle itself. And then verses 45 to 57, the outcome or the results of that miracle. And then finally, in the verse 53, you have the formal decision of the Jews to put him to death. And we read, from that moment, it is by this last, as it were, miracle that hereby the Jews determined to put him to death. It is from this point onward, is the final, is the climax, that which moves them to put the Son of God to death. This is the final sign that sinners will see. It is death, but it is life. You know, death is something everybody listening to me here will experience, except the Son of God come upon the clouds of glory. Death is something you will experience. It is something I will experience. It is something that has saddened the world ever since the fall, death. It is that which is indescribably unbearable. We cannot bear to lose a loved one, how hard it is. Death is not a natural thing. It's therefore there we cry, we weep. Death is not normal. It's very abnormal because God did not make us to die. We were born to live. But the wages of sin is death. Now, in this very passage, one of the great things that we see is that there is love. We read of the fact that John loves Lazarus, and he loves Mary, and he loves Martha. Love is flowing throughout this chapter, time and time again. It's obvious that the dear Savior has love for they appeal to him and say, "The one who thou lovest is sick." The Lord loves Lazarus. The Lord loves Martha. The Lord loves Mary. Let me just put it this way. The Lord loves his people. I have no doubt that there were many people dying that day. But the Lord Jesus wept for one man. He wept for Lazarus. He weeps for his people. Death, of course, is sad, isn't it? It's a sad thing. And it's the one event we will have to face. But the point is, will we die alone? Will we die with the Savior? We read in Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes by the Spirit, "Woe to him that falleth alone." Terrible thing to die without God and without hope. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Jews, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And friends, that is a terrible way to die. To die without the forgiveness of sins and to have no hope of heaven and no eternal life. It is something we will have to face at the end of this life, and it will be in a moment. Here, nobody expects Lazarus to die. It doesn't appear in any way that he is an old man. And certainly his siblings, Martha and Mary, they went about with the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. The family with them back in Bethany, and they helped him, they aided him. But the Lord, he loves his people. He has loved them with an everlasting love. And for the believer, we read in the Psalms, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because when they die from this life, they go to be with him forever and forever. This time he would experience death. But Lazarus would have to experience death again. Two deaths. I had a friend this week, I think I said earlier, his heart stopped beating. He was ready to die. And he said, if the Lord had taken me, wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have known. He just was asked to turn in the clinic by one of the nurses to turn over. The next moment, there was a defibrillator on him. He was well 1 minute. The next minute, they were bringing him back. Of course, his time wasn't up yet. But he was ready to die. He was ready to leave this life. And that's the question I put to you here tonight. Are you ready to die and ready to face the judgment? Well, the Lord loves his people. And these two sisters, they appeal. They're there at Bethany and they appeal to the Lord Jesus who is with his disciples. And they say, thou whom thou lovest is sick. And he tarries for a while. And I mean, this is an interesting way they put it to the Lord Jesus. They don't say, Lazarus who loves you is sick. But though he who thou lovest. And here's something for the believer, first of all, this evening. When we're in trouble, we appeal to the Lord because we are his property. He loves us. And we can claim that he loves us. My beloved is mine and I am his. If you're a believer, you have instant access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are without Christ tonight, we want you to know that. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through all of our sickness, through all of our sorrow. We know we can call upon the Lord. We can say, Lord, the one who thou lovest is sick. Lord, protect your property. Your property is in danger. I need thee, Lord. And we know that we're in good hands. We want you people to know that there is a God in heaven that loves sinners. And we have peace. We know he loves us. How do we know? Well, because we love him. How do we love him? Well, the scriptures say, because he first loved us. The answer of that love is that we love him. And I would ask you that question here tonight. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, why not? You should love him because he's God. He's God. You should love him. There's no reason you should not love him. You have lived on his earth. You have breathed and even come under his word. He is brought life into this world. He is keeping you. He is sustaining you. Now, we see the circumstance here of this miracle. First of all, as I said, the love of Christ for his people. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Sometimes the Lord will work, will he not? A conversion to a sinner we don't know why things happen, but we know sometimes the Lord will bring others to himself through the death of a loved one. We know this happened in the case of Robert Murray McShane. It was through the death of his own brother that he came to seek and to know the Lord, that he was converted through the death of his brother. And death sometimes can bring good things out of it. People are not brought to think upon their eternity without death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But this has come, and he says that God would be glorified, we notice, in this text. Now, verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days till in the same place there he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. And so they thought, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. We read earlier that he tarried 2 days. He didn't go straight to Bethany. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's after the 2 days. He announces Lazarus is actually dead. And then he says, verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So in other words, this is done for the glory of God, and so that his people will believe. And God will be glorified in all of this. And again, sisters appeal to him and say, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And let me just remind the Christians, we need to always appeal to God in our trying circumstances on the highest level. Lord, the one who you love, me. I'm in need. Not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can be my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tumult of my troubled heart. You see it? And that was his sisters. They trusted, but they were aghast that the Lord Jesus Christ had not appeared. In fact, if you notice in the verse 21, and then you notice in the verse 32, the two sisters say exactly the same thing. Verse 21, then saith Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, verse 32, was, and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Exactly the same thing. Now, it says in the text that the Lord, right at the beginning, it says that the Lord loved both Martha and Mary. And Lazarus. And sometimes we don't understand the dark providences of life. And maybe if you're unconverted, you can't seem to make head or tail of the trouble in your life. And perhaps the Lord is dealing with you, I don't know. But those deep mysteries we cannot fathom. The web of time he weaves in everybody's life, whether we are going to be saved or not, is all determined and decreed by God. And he does what is right. And if we love him, we can be sure of his love to us, and we are to have no doubts about his love. But what they do is they doubt his actions. And so often, if we are Christians, that's what we do. We doubt the Lord's actions and the way he deals with us. So that's another lesson. The Lord doesn't always deal with us in the manner that we expect in our lives. It's true, isn't it, for Abraham? Think of Abraham when he was called by God to offer up his son Isaac. the unspeakable, to slay his son. And then Joseph in the prison. And maybe you're unconverted tonight and sometimes the Bible doesn't make sense. But one thing God does do is he proves his love. And he tries a faith. He gives a faith. He tests and tries that faith. But do you notice in the verse 4, there's a word of promise sent back to the sisters in Bethany. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." That's a word of promise. And they should have held on to this, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, the sickness at this point was not unto death, and though he did experience death, he did not enter into that second death. We cannot explain where was his soul in that time. We don't know, but we do know this, that his body began to stink after 4 days. And Christ, our Savior, called him from the dead, "Arise." Where was he? Where was his soul? God explains that. But they buried him. They wrapped him in linen clothes. And he came out. What he's saying here in the verse 4 to the sisters is death will not be the final outcome. And you think about this miracle. Our Savior did not heal from a distance as he had done on a number of occasions, but not here. Later on, verse 15, he says, the reason for this, to the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. So, very hard thing that they have to face. And sometimes it's like this for the Lord. It's people. And even if you are seeking the Lord now, and you do not know whether you're the Lord's, and you don't know his dealings with you. Sometimes, as we read in God's word, the Lord says, "Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that ye may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him." There comes a time when a soul begins to be troubled over sin, and it seems that there is no light. Weeping may endure for a night, and there's no hope, there's no peace. But peace cometh in the morning. The Lord has his ways. They're in the whirlwind. We cannot fathom them. People are not saved in the same way. You know, there's not a cookie cutter salvation for every person. It's not all the same. It's amazing when you listen to various testimonies, how the Lord has worked in this one's life, that one's life. Very different. The Lord knows his people and he knows how to be gracious. And he knows just what these two sisters need. And so he deliberately delays for 2 days. And he then heads off to Bethany. But he goes through Judea first, verse 7 and the verse 8. And then he says in the verse 14 plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Now, it's amazing, isn't it, how the Lord knew this. The Lord actually knew Lazarus is dead. Nobody needed to tell him. He knew it. Before even news was sent to him and the disciples from Bethany, he knew it. Why? Because he is the giver and he is the taker of life. Would we fathom that? He has the keys to death and hell and heaven. He says plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And so deliberately delayed by 2 days. And then they arrive at Bethany in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And we notice in the verse 18 that great crowds start arriving. And they start to comfort the sisters from Jerusalem and surrounding areas. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, I think it's plainly obvious. Certainly, when we look at other passages of Scripture, these siblings were very close. These two sisters and this brother, they loved their brother dearly. And they all loved the Lord. What a wonderful picture that was of the Lord's family and His peace amongst His people. Now, it's interesting here that I want us to look at Martha. She believes in the Christ, but she sees that He does not have the power. At first, notice verse 21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now notice carefully verse 22, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." She is acknowledging that the Father will answer the Son. But what is the whole lesson of the passage? I am the resurrection. I am the life. He is the one that has power. That is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority has been given Him. He has the power. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." He comes first of all with a gentle answer. Martha said unto Him, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Well, she's got her theology right there. She understands the resurrection. She knows this to be true. But notice how the Lord Jesus replies. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Don't you understand? He's saying, in other words, the last day has been transposed to the present. That is what he's saying. Yes, men shall rise in the last day. But you've forgotten. I am the resurrection. I am the life. What you will see now will be true on that final day when all, as in John 5, shall come out of the graves. Some to the resurrection of life. Some to the resurrection of eternal damnation. Verse 26, "And whosoever believeth and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now there's a key verse. Liveth now. God's people are saved and they live now. Remember what we saw there in John 5. The Son of God calls, and as His word goes out, people live. They who were once dead in trespasses and sins. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never experience that second death. That's what he means. Of course, there is the second death. No, there is the first death, which we will all experience, but we shall not enter, as the book of the Revelation tells us, of that second death. And see, death forever and death and death. And that second death, my dear friends, is never ending. It's not annihilation. If only it were. But it's not. It's everlasting torment in the flames of hell. Forever and ever, and the smoke of their torments go up forever and forever and forever. There is no rest for the wicked. And he says to her, "Believest thou this?" Those who live now. And that's the question I put. Do you live now? You know, I can preach and preach God's word, and you can take it in, but it has no effect upon you. Why is that? Because you are spiritually dead. There's no effect upon your soul. And what we will see is that as the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes to that graveside, and we read it as a cave, that the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried with a loud voice. He didn't whisper, but he was showing something. That voice of the Savior, as his voice penetrated down into the cave, into the deep caverns, where Lazarus had been lying dead and his body stinking for 4 days, that voice would penetrate down through the caverns, would come through his voice box and reverberate in the surrounding areas. And that voice would come to Lazarus. And that very voice would bring life. And that heart would begin to pump. It had stopped for 4 days. The flesh had begun to set in to rotting. But the power of the voice of the Son of God would bring life. The blood would begin to flow in that body. And Lazarus, who has been wrapped in those grave clothes for those 4 days, or however long he's been in those grave clothes, he would begin to warm up, and he would get up, and he would begin to walk in his grave clothes. Walk out to the entrance and come forth, and everybody would be aghast. He wouldn't want to remain in those grave clothes any longer, would he? Take them off me. I'm alive. And that, my friends, is the sign that somebody is converted. I don't want these old grave clothes of sin anymore. Get them off me. I live now in Christ. The life I now live, I live by faith. I believe his word. I receive his word. It changes my heart. It's changed my life. I now live by faith in the Son of God. This, friends, is a picture of God's power of his word through the word preached, which is Christ, who brings life to sinners. The preacher can preach, and he can raise his voice. But friends, unless God speak to you, you will not have life. It doesn't excuse you. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus? Marvel not. You must be born again. The Spirit giveth life. When God speaks, my friend, to your soul, you begin to be awakened to these truths, and God gives you life and light. As you come, you're drawn to Christ. That's how you know you're saved. We're told in the Psalms, blessed is the man who thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's what the Lord does. As his word goes out, as his word is preached, the sinner comes forth. I live, I believe. But now Martha and Mary are seeing it in real life form in terms of their brother who comes forth. And this is what he will do on the final day. Every body shall come out of the graves. Those who have believed to life eternal. Those who have believed not will remain in their desperate state in sin and go on to a lost eternity. My friends, that's the word of God. I'm not going to change it for anybody. You must be born again. The Spirit gives life. What is my plea to you? You come along to church, you hear the word of God, but it has no effect upon you. Do you not see that you are dead? You need to be born again. Cry out unto God. Be troubled in your sin. Hear the word of God. Does it not trouble you? This has no effect. Oh, you hear with the ears. But here is the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, who speaks and who speaks words of life. But we're so fast bound in the chains of sin and nature's night. And we love our sin. That's why you will not come, as another reason, because you love your sin. He said, men will not come to the light because they love darkness rather than light. That's another reason. Don't blame it all on God and say, it's up to you. You love your sin and you'll die in your sins. Yes, God is sovereign, but so are you responsible. You have sinned against your God and your Creator. But what did the Savior do? The Savior went and he went, he who was life, to be put to death. that they that believe on him shall have everlasting life. He is the first fruits of all them that shall rise in him. Rise to where? To eternal life. What has Adam brought? He has brought death and misery. Look at this world. Look at you. You live, as it were, legion, like legion among the caves. Never happy, never satisfied. Interested in the dead things of this world. That was legion. He wanted to live in the tombs, and the things of this world are passing away, and the lust thereof. But all these things lead to separation from God. But Christ has lived the life that no sinner could ever live, that he might be their substitute. And he died in the room in the stead of all that believe upon him. Believest thou this? That he is the resurrection and the life. He is the Christ. He is the anointed, the Son of God, which should, notice, come into the world. That's where he's come from. He's come from above. You are from below. You are from beneath, as I am. But he has come from another realm. He was God. When the disciples were with him in the boat, and he stilled the waves, and he said, "Be still, peace." They said, "What manner," literally, "what realm does this man come from?" Another realm. God. God was manifest in the flesh. And here God is speaking. And when he comes speaking through his word and his gospel, men live. When the word of God is attended by the power of the Holy Spirit, sinners believe unto eternal life. We see here, as he approaches the graveside, he begins to groan within his spirit. Oh, what a monster death has been. As he approaches, he weeps for Lazarus, knowing that Lazarus will have to experience this again, and that all of his people shall experience this, and he shall experience it himself, but far worse. But he knew Lazarus would rise from the dead. Father, it's interesting where he says this. I know that thou hearest me. That's what he cried. Jesus, therefore, again, verse 38, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." It's amazing. It seems as if her faith has waned again. He's told her. But she's saying, "But he's been dead 4 days. How can he come to life?" My friends, people that have been dead for 4,000 years in the grave will come forth. Never mind 4 days. Their bodies have been disintegrated to ash, because this one who said, "Let there be light," with one word, created the heavens and the earth. Do you think it's too hard for him? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And Jesus said unto her, "Said not I unto thee?" It's almost a rebuke. Verse 40, "That if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God." And that is what she's going to see. This is the glory of God, friends. What is the glory of God? It is to have mercy upon sinners. And to see sinners brought from death to life. Not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual. And to have life everlasting. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Lazarus hasn't even come forth yet. But it's been answered. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and Lazarus came forth, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. And we know the account. It wasn't long after that there in the house, there was Lazarus, Mary and Martha and the disciples, and they enjoyed fellowship together. And that alabaster flask was broken, and our Lord was anointed for his death. Why? So that he would give his people eternal life through his sufferings. Oh, this is the gospel, friends. And you see, while the Lord groans here, and it grieves the Lord that there's sin, there must be, you must understand, friend, the wages of sin is death. God is a just God. That's why there is death in this world. But precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Lazarus was going to die again. But Lazarus and all God's people know they shall rise. Because this one has first given us life. Let me say this. We will not rise to eternal life unless we know that newness of life now. There's no hope of it. And that newness of life really begins with repentance of our sins. He said, except ye repent, ye shall perish. And I ask, dear friend, have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed your sins before God? Have you truly come with a broken heart? Have you come understanding that you're not worthy to be in God's presence, that you are worthy of his everlasting judgment and the fires of hell? Because I tell you, until you realize that, you've not understood the holiness of God. You've not understood the weight of his law. You have not understood the sinfulness of your sin. Unless you repent, that is, confess your sins, and by the grace of God, call upon him and ask him, save me, Lord. I don't like these grave clothes. I don't like this life. I hate sin. I want to be different, Lord. I want to love thee. I want to be like Lazarus, and I want to be like Mary, and I want to be like Martha, and I want to walk the life of faith. I want to trust thee, Lord, and I want to please thee. I've lived so long for myself in this dark, miserable world. I've tried all the cisterns and the fountains of this life. I've tried many things, but they cannot please me. I've denied my God. I've denied my Creator. I've not lived for him. I've not loved him. I put myself above God, and I put everything else before thy word. And I ask, O Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you receive me, Lord? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says he receives sinners. And I come as a sinner with all of my guilt, with all of my weight of my guilt. And I cry with the tax collector, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, God never turns away anybody who comes with true repentance in the heart. Never. All that come unto God by Jesus Christ shall never be cast away, but shall be received God has made you to hear. You have heard. Many will hear. The Jews saw a man rise from the dead. And now they want to put to death this one that has given life to the sinner. Is that not wickedness? But is it not wickedness, friends, for you to sit there, hear me, and hear about one that calls people from the graves and gives them life, and it's nothing to you? And this one says he is judge and Lord. It's the height of wickedness to say, I'll live my life as I will. Though you've read the account here with me and you've seen these things to be true, John says, we write these things that you may believe. You carry on in your sin. Yes, there will be judgment. But may God speak through his word. By grace is anybody saved. If God should reach through and quicken you and bring you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will rejoice and we will be glad. May God do it. I can't do it. I've preached to people the gospel for years and they've sat under my ministry, not a change. It's a very humbling experience as a minister. I can't change a single soul. But may God, through his word and by his spirit, be pleased to convict you of your sin and your need of Christ. And we know it is all of his grace. May he do so through this feeble, poor message preached here tonight. God gives life and eternal life through his dear Son. It's the work of God. It's the grace of God. Humble yourself. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen.